Welcome to the Coventry and Warwickshire Green Business Programme podcast. Subscribe now for more episodes.
In our first episode last month, we discussed how the Green Business Programme can support local SMEs in Coventry and Warwickshire in their fight against climate change. We heard from local business leaders how they've managed to reduce their energy bill by 40% after installing solar panels. In this episode, we will investigate this further and try to find an answer to the question, can solar panels be a solution to help combat climate change and rising energy costs, even in rainy England? In a few moments, we'll be talking to Angus Rose, Managing Director of Ineco Energy, an expert on solar energy, and with Simon Birch, Managing Director of Patrick Steel, a small business based in Coventry, which has recently decided to install solar panels. So our first guest is Anna Livesey, who is the Climate Change and Sustainability Business Development Manager at Coventry City Council. Welcome to the podcast, Anna. Three questions in one, please, if I may. Tell us about the importance of this report, who's behind it and what it says.
Hi, good to join you today. Yeah, the report is published by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC. So the IPCC is the United Nations body for assessing the science related to climate change. So it was created to provide policymakers, principally, but obviously it's relevant to all of us, with very regular scientific assessments on climate change. So what's its implications? What are the potential future risks? And put forward options to adapt and to mitigate. So why is it important? You'll probably recall that last September, just ahead of COP, there was quite a lot of headlines that was related to another report by IPCC. So that highlighted that climate change we're seeing is directly caused by humans and the time to act is now. Some of those were the key messages to that. That was the Physical Science Working Group report. This report is on the impacts, adaptation and vulnerability. So it assesses the impact of climate change and how it affects ecosystems, biodiversity and human communities at a global and regional level. So it helps us understand what the main risks are and how we might not just reduce the possibility of it happening, but also how we might manage any changes that will happen. So in terms of what it says, clearly it's a very in-depth scientific report. So I'll try and draw out some of the key elements I think that are relevant to Coventry and cities like ours. So two areas in particular are adaptation and resilience. And the report talks in detail about how we adapt to mitigate and become more resilient. So where we're adapting, we need to apply flexible, multi-sectoral, inclusive and long-term planning approaches. And in terms of resilient, we need to work with communities, with society, with education bodies, science, other institutions, and ensure that partnerships are supported by political leadership, resources, information and tools. So we already work with a number of partners and other bodies in Coventry, the wider region, beyond. And so we need to look at these messages and think about them in our approaches and look at what would be beneficial to us, to our partners and communities in the way we adapt to climate change. So the Green Business Programme itself is just one example. It's a network we support and we can think about how we will work with businesses and with those networks. The third area that I'd like to draw attention to is the trend of urbanisation. So the report explains how urbanisation offers a very critical opportunity to advance climate resilient development. And I saw it in another news article. They called it Cities of Hope. They offer hope, which I really liked. It says we can push for more renewable energy, greener transport, greener buildings, and we can help limit the destructive impacts of climate change. So in Coventry, we've got a number of programmes that already do this. So working with the businesses, which we've just talked about, to adapt and work to net zero. Our transport, we do a lot of work. We've got an EV charging network. We've got electric bus and taxi schemes. We're home to the UK Battery Industrialisation Centre. We're developing a very light rail. So that not only lowers CO2, but helps improve air quality. We've just completed a regional energy system operator partnership project, which explored ideas around how we might develop a smart energy system. We have parks and green spaces programmes such as highway wildflowers and trees for every citizen, which helps maintain biodiversity and how we adapt our blue and green infrastructure. Affordable warmth, which works with communities and housing providers to look at our homes, making them more energy efficient, reducing emissions and, of course, fuel costs. And also, you'll talk more about this in the moment, but renewables, including solar on our very own buildings. And that are a few examples of things we're already doing. So what I would say is, whilst you might see media coverage and reports that look on risks and problems and things that might rise as a result of climate change, it might sound all very negative. My feeling is it's very important that we focus on the solutions and what we can do, both in how we adapt and reduce those risks, and the role we can play as individuals and in the partnerships, and we can find and deliver those solutions.
And Anna, are there any other reports due to be published soon?
Yes, yes, there are. The next report is the mitigation report. So that's due early next month, so very soon. So that will look at greenhouse gas growth and pathways to help reduce those emissions. So we'll definitely be keeping a lookout for that and be sure to share any key findings, especially where they'll be relevant to businesses we're working with.
And I'm curious as to whether you're seeing increased interest in the Green Business Programme because of recent price rises.
Yeah, our business development advisors have reported that the businesses they work with have raised concerns about the jump in tariffs that we're seeing. I think that some are reporting it might double in the next month or so. So it's obviously of great concern. So we are also getting more inquiries about what is it we offer, what audits we can do, and ways we can support businesses to find ways to not only reduce emissions, but also reduce their own bills.
That was Anna Livesey.
You're listening to the Green Business Programme podcast as we seek to answer the question, can solar panels be a solution to help combat climate change and the rising energy costs, even in rainy England? Now to our next guest, Angus Rose. Angus is the Managing Director of Eneco Energy. In 2021, Coventry City Council procured Eneco Energy to partner with on the delivery of solar solutions across 41 council locations. Angus will help us understand how effective solar panels are and what the costs involved are. So welcome to the podcast, Angus. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do, if you would.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I grew up locally to Coventry in Warwickshire, and I have two young children with my partner, Charlotte. And I guess really when I left school, I didn't know what to do and basically went travelling. And it was when I was travelling, I ended up volunteering in an eco lodge, which was completely off grid and powered by renewables, which led me to where I am today, really. I got involved in the UK solar market back in 2010 when the feed-in tariffs were first introduced. And fast forward to 2016, shortly after my daughter was born, I formed Eneco Energy with a mission to power a sustainable future. Eneco's purpose is really to deliver technological solutions to help combat climate change. And we do this through the installation of solar panels, LED lighting, battery storage technology, and other energy saving technologies. As mentioned, we are in the process of delivering solar panels to Coventry City Council's properties and have worked with buildings such as the council house to Canley Crematorium. So we've had a real mix of different applications when it comes to solar, and also work with other local authorities as well as private sector clients.
Okay, so just explain to us a little bit about how solar panels systems work, if you would.
So at a high level, John, solar panels work by absorbing the sun's energy and converting it to electricity. I guess for me, got inspired when I learnt that more energy falls on the earth from the sun in 1 hour than the world consumes in a year. And I guess that is the potential of solar power. Simply put, if we're to get a little bit more technical, it's solar panels, lots of layers of silicon, which have an imbalance of electrons. And when the sun hits them, this excites the electrons and they jump around, which in effect creates a flow of DC electricity. The DC electricity then travels to an inverter, which turns it to AC electricity, which we use in our businesses and homes.
I mean, that's an extraordinary statistic about the amount that sort of falls to the earth in 1 day versus, you know, what's used over a year. Can you quantify that in sort of pound note terms as far as individual businesses are concerned?
So simply put, it all depends really, John. It depends on obviously the orientation, the inclination typically, and obviously how many solar panels you have on a roof. Typically, we would tend to find that an SME in the Midlands can really generate, in terms of pounds saved, they can really generate anything from, say, £3,000 to £35,000 per annum on average. That being said, we do have some larger customers who are saving over £175,000 a year. It'll all depend on the size of the system, and that obviously impacts what we'll generate.
Okay, so thanks for that. So let's then go to how much an installation costs and how long could you expect a solar panel to last?
From an environmental perspective, the question I would pose back is what's the cost of not doing anything? Obviously, we've had a number of climate summits, whether that be Glasgow most recently or Paris previously, and fundamentally they're all relaying the message that we are in a state of climate emergency and that's having catastrophic impacts. But if you put the net zero and planet health discussion to one side, from an economic perspective, electricity prices are increasing all the time. I mean, we're seeing some of our customers have electricity rate increases of over 100%, particularly with what's going on with Russia and Ukraine and the like. And obviously this is having a significant impact, which means that business as usual is not financially sustainable for a lot of companies. So typically our contracts vary from 10,000 to over £1 million, depending on the size of the system. And payback periods at the moment are decreasing because of the increase in electricity rates, but vary anywhere from 4 to 8 years. And furthermore, there may be tax incentives with regards to capital allowances. Solar really gives you an opportunity to forward buy your electricity for at least the next 25 years at a locked in price of 3 to 4 pence. So when you compare that to some of our customers who are seeing paying 30p, it's a huge saving in today's terms, never mind in 25 years time. One of the real benefits of solar is that it can be deployed incredibly quickly, and actually the development stage, which is grid applications, structural surveys, etc., can often take longer than the actual installation itself. But the famous saying is it's all in the preparation, because you have to measure twice and cut once. So that's something that we obviously have put within our business. And in terms of the longevity of solar systems, we want to make sure we get it right first time, because they're going to last at least 25 years, which is what the warranty of the panels are. But the EU has established a 40-year life cycle for solar systems, so it is a long-term investment opportunity.
Okay, so if an SME listening to this is interested in installing solar panels, what are the minimum requirements? Are there any constraints?
One of the benefits of solar is that it's incredibly accessible. So you may have seen single solar panels on canal boats or camper vans, to a few dozen on your neighbour's house, and potentially tens of thousands of solar panels on the roofs of bigger commercial clients of ours, or potentially in the ground-mounted solar farms that you see around the UK. Most likely the roof over your business right now is probably doing a good job of keeping the rain out, and apart from that, it's a relatively underutilized asset, which could obviously deliver some significant financial and environmental benefit. In terms of considerations, well, clearly solar is a energy generating asset, and therefore we're looking to generate energy ideally for use on site. So for most SMEs, we're looking at what is your energy consumption and what are you using, so that we can obviously save you the power with the solar PV. And I guess to put that into context, like I said, we're seeing some customers paying 30 pence a kilowatt hour. Well, if we're generating solar PV, we want to try and offset as much of that 30 pence a kilowatt hour as opposed to sending the electricity back down to the grid, because the grid, best case scenario, may be getting around 10 pence a kilowatt hour. So it's sort of three times more profitable to generate solar power and use that on site as opposed to sending that back down to the grid. After that, I guess the other consideration is that of building ownership. In essence, who owns the building? It's easier with owner occupiers to obviously put a system up that they can own and the building is theirs. But obviously landlords are seeing an increased requirement to improve energy efficiency to enable the renting of their properties. So we're seeing an increase of interest from landlords who are looking to do that to attract their tenants, because in essence, energy costs are a big consideration for companies these days.
And how long does installation take?
Yes, each project is different in many respects, but typically we'll deliver a solar project from the cradle to the grave, we'd say, and divide it into three key stages. And the first stage is the development stage, and that includes grid applications, structural surveys, detailed site surveys, and that can take up to about 10 weeks typically. And that's pretty much because of the grid and the time it takes for them to come back once they've done their studies and all the rest of it. I guess stage two is the construction stage, where actually we're on site and we're installing the solar panels, the inverters, optimizers and mounting kit and the like, and all the equipment. And on average, I mean, we have some projects that take less than a week and some projects that go past 10 weeks. But on average, I'd say it's about a 4-week install time, including putting the scaffolding up and dropping the scaffolding as well. And then really the bit that I think is most important in some respects is stage three, which is the operation and maintenance of that solar generating asset. Like I said, it's got a 25-year warranty and a 40-year life span. So I guess it's really about, from our perspective, it's about installing something that's built to last and then looking after that system for the life of the system, which could be 25 plus years.
So the English spend a lot of time talking about the weather, and that's possibly because we don't live in the sunniest part of the world. Does this affect solar panel efficiency? Because some may worry that they can't be assured that there's a continuous supply of power.
So I guess solar works well everywhere in the UK. Solar panels don't need direct sunlight to operate and they produce power all year round. So to put that into context, over 1 million homes, businesses and landowners have installed solar panels over the past decade in the UK. And solar can actually produce as much as 30% of the UK electricity mix at different times of the year. In February 2020, we got as high as 20% of the electricity mix at midday within February. So it's a common misconception that solar wouldn't work in the UK. That's something I don't believe to be true. So sure, on a dark winter's day, your solar system won't be generating as much as on the May bank holiday, as an example. It's not a silver bullet and it's not going to provide your total energy needs because of nighttime consumption, as one example. However, it does give you the opportunity of producing your own electricity supply, mitigating the risk of energy price hikes, as well as being the most cost-effective way of generating energy.
What about maintenance then? So what's needed? I mean, I guess the obvious one is how often do they have to be cleaned?
I mean, in essence, you have a power plant on your roof, and like most things in life, you must give it some attention to keep it performing to its best. There are some regular maintenance checks that are required. From our perspective, you can't manage what you don't measure, and therefore monitoring is a key consideration when looking at maintenance, and also when looking at purchasing a solar system, is how are we going to understand if that system's generating or not generating? How do we monitor its performance? From our perspective, monitoring is almost the most important thing you need to do from a maintenance perspective. But thereafter, obviously, you've got annual electrical inspection and testing. You've got a power plant on your roof, so you need to make sure that someone is checking all the connections are safe and secure. Solar on rooftop is exposed to the elements, so you want to make sure that the mechanical parts are secured, particularly when you look at some of the storms and those kind of things that we've had recently. It's making sure that everything is as it should be and nothing has moved out of line. You touched upon it, John, about panel cleaning, because it's one of the most common questions we get asked about. And from our perspective, panel cleaning should be undertaken on a performance basis and as and when required. And what I mean by that is by undertaking visual checks. And again, with drone technology these days, that's become a lot easier than perhaps it has been in the past. But visual checks of the panels to see, are they dirty? Is there serious buildup of dirt accumulation, bird fouling, that kind of thing? And if so, then yes, you need to absolutely clean your panels, but it should be on a performance basis, because there's no point in cleaning panels just for the sake of cleaning panels if they're perfectly clean. And that's something that when we're talking to a customer at the very beginning, we would provide an idea of what may be required based on the site specific factors. To put that into context, a residential home with a 30 degree pitch is going to wash away dirt and debris a lot better than maybe a flat roof system would. That's trying to understand the site specifics and really tailor a suitable package to that system's requirements.
Okay, so Angus, you've done a great job about telling us about all the good things, all the upsides, the pros, if you like. Are there any downsides? Is there anything that we also need to take into consideration on that front?
So yes, John, the high upfront capital costs are obviously a downside, but there are several funding options available. Everything from grant funding that is available to PPA funding, where customers don't actually have to spend any money themselves and they get a discount on their electricity that's generated from the PV power. Fundamentally, there's a cost involved in installing these systems, which can be mitigated in a number of manners. But once you have got that system up and running, it is the cheapest form of electricity in history, according to the International Energy Agency. So it is an investment well worth having. I guess the other thing that we find is that sometimes we find that our customers don't have a big enough available roof space for the amount of power that they need. So obviously some sites will be consuming a fair amount of electricity and they just don't necessarily have the roof space to be able to generate as much power as they need. So a great example of that may be maybe a city centre tower block where they're consuming a lot of electricity and obviously they don't have that roof space to be able to generate as much as they use. And I guess the other thing you touched upon is the intermittency factors. The solar power is obviously relatively like clockwork in terms of daylight hours. It's relatively obvious when the sun comes up and comes down and documented, but obviously at night time there's no generation, and the mitigation for the intermittency is the installation of battery storage, and that technology is obviously evolving all the time, but hopefully in time will give us the sort of holy grail of solar and storage to be able to hopefully take over a significant, if not all, of our customers' needs.
So for the small and medium-sized businesses that are listening, how much should they expect to save yearly after they've installed solar?
Again, it will all depend on a number of factors in terms of how much electricity they consume, the cost they're paying for the electricity, the size of the solar system that they can install. But I think I mentioned earlier, we have some larger SME clients who are saving more than £175,000 a year. But typically, it generally tends to be, for most typical SMEs with a sort of standard size industrial unit, you could be saving anywhere from £3,000 to £35,000, I would suggest.
So still very significant. Let's talk a little bit about the work that you're doing, the projects that you have in hand for Coventry City Council. So how many of council properties have installed solar panels, and what are the energy savings that you're seeing there?
Yeah, so we won the contract initially to look at 46 council sites. It's been reduced down to 41 because a few failed structural and some other development issues that we had along the way. But yeah, we're about 70% of the way through that particular programme at the moment. So we've installed 1.4 out of 2 megawatts of solar that we're looking to deliver for the council. To put that in context of solar panels, there's about 3,500 out of 5,000 solar panels that have been installed. And that program is running through to the end of the year, although we'll probably get ahead of that, I wouldn't anticipate.
Okay, so thanks, Angus. So that was Angus Rose, Managing Director of Eneco Energy. Our final guest this time is Simon Birch, Managing Director of Patrick Steel Limited. Patrick Steel is a small business based in Baton Road Industrial Estate, Coventry. They were established in 1986 and they currently have 8 employees. Patrick Steel Limited are specialists in the provision of flame cutting, CNC profile cutting and Lumsden grinding services to a range of customers throughout the UK. Last year, they got in touch with the Green Business Programme team as they were looking to make changes to their business, which will not only enable them to become greener, but also save money. Patrick Steel will install solar panels for their business this year, and the Green Business Programme will pay up to a maximum of £50,000 of the total cost. Hi, Simon. Thanks for sparing the time to come on the podcast. So last year you got in touch with the Green Business Programme and you had a free energy and resource efficiency audit after that contact. And just to remind listeners, during the audit, a business advisor assesses the energy and water use and waste management procedures to identify and recommend areas for improvement. So once you got in touch, Simon, what did you think of the actual audit?
I thought the audit went really well. The audit was like a bonus to us because I think our initial communication to them came from looking into possible grant support for the solar panel project that we had on the back burner. So the audit came along and it sort of like opened our eyes to various other things in the business that we could potentially save money on too.
Okay, so which recommendations from the audit did you decide to accept?
Well, we'd already got solar panels on our radar, so to speak. It was something that with the way energy prices were going, it felt like we were almost safeguarding future costs. Particularly, a lot of our machines are very energy hungry, some of our older grinding machines. So, but the possibility of making our own sort of made a lot of sense. So having a quick chat with the landlord to make sure they had no issues with it, we saw us formulated a plan and got the Green Business Programme involved straight away, and they came along and helped us with the audit. So in answer to your question, the solar panels were immediately something we were interested in. There was a couple of other points that we'd actually already done. LED lighting, for instance, we installed a couple of years ago. So we've always been working down that green route wherever we can.
So the Green Business Programme report says that the solar panels will reduce your carbon footprint by about 6 tonnes of CO2 a year. What about the financial side? How much money are you expecting to save after the solar panels are installed?
We're hoping to actually save more than was initially indicated, because as you can imagine, as energy prices are going up and up and up, our savings were initially based on almost like last year's energy prices, and we were expecting to save upwards of £3,000 a year. And I think it's going to be more like around £500 a month eventually, because we will no longer be paying those escalated unit costs for electricity, or the projected cost for next year and the year after that. So, yeah, I'd say at least £3,000 a year, but with the way things are going, those costs are going to be considerably more.
That's obviously a significant contribution to help you manage the business. So, yeah, so the total cost of the project, I understand, is around about £18,000. And the Green Business Programme has offered to pay 40% of that cost, which is equates to about £7,000. So, as we mentioned, you were also offered this free energy audit, which usually costs £840. And we all know for small businesses, you know, that everyone's been through a really tough time since 2020. How important is this help to your business?
It's essential. I don't think the project would go ahead without the grant support. Obviously, as a small business owner, you try and be as green and as careful as possible with your impact on the environment. But the cost savings, the green nature of the solar panels, the renewable energy, etc., is a route we wanted to take. But just felt, particularly with the way things have gone over the last couple of years with COVID and shutdowns and the furlough scheme and, you know, the business just battening down the hatches really to survive, this sort of like future-proofs our energy costs. So it's made a huge difference. Without the intervention of the grant, I think we'd be struggling to do it at all. So
So apart from, you know, the immediate financial benefits that you get and from installing the solar panels, is there anything else that influenced your decision? Because you've mentioned that you wanted to go green in your business. That's a really important part of what you're trying to do, is it?
Well, yeah. It's almost like a bonus, I suppose, because ultimately everything comes down to cost for small business. But the fact we can save costs and be greener is an added bonus. So I don't think we initially was looking at how green we could be. We were looking at how we could save money. And the green thing became, you know, like a bonus, but the audits also, you know, sort of highlighted the way we could potentially not only make savings but reduce our carbon footprint too. So there's other things we have looked into that we can do off our own back, so to speak.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us, Simon. So that was Simon Birch from Patrick Steele. My thanks to our other guests, Angus Rose and Anna Livesey. Please use the link in the description to let us know if you're interested in accessing the programme or becoming a member of the Green Business Network, which has currently almost 2,000 members. The network is free to join and open to any business, community organisation, social enterprise, charity or individual who have an interest in becoming greener and contributing to the fight against climate change. The Coventry and Warwickshire Green Business Programme is part funded by the European Regional Development Fund and is being delivered by Coventry City Council, Coventry University and Coventry University Enterprises Limited. This podcast was produced by Maria Covlia. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.